That's weird. That's fucking weird. We should probably talk about it. There's a mystery here.
Our friend Lisa had a birthday recently, and she celebrated with renting out an ice skating rink, which is fun.
Wow.
But not for me, because I'm a clumsy, accident-prone person. And so I literally... Oh, girl,
did you hurt yourself again?
I did not.
Doing something else?
I didn't. Thank goodness. I put the skates on and, like, walked down the little thing, and I wouldn't even go on the ice. I said, never mind, and I went back inside. And then eventually, like, they coaxed me out there, and I just, like, held on to the railing and went not even a quarter of the way around, and then I went back inside, and I was like, you know what? It's not worth it. I can't hurt myself again. I live in fear, Christy. I live in fear.
That reminds me of... I think it's Lupita Nyong'o. Someone asked her what her ideal skiing situation would be. And her ideal skiing situation was just like, well, I'm not going to ski, but hopefully there's a lodge with a good fire and I'll snuggle up and drink a hot drink and like read a good book.
100% agree. Like,
yeah. That is my ideal skiing situation as well, Lupita. You got me.
I love that you're keeping up with, you know, random Lupita interviews.
She's important, okay? She's a talent, a beauty. She was in Us.
Yeah.
Somebody told me today that when they had the NBC or something like a horror night, like Universal Horror Nights, one of the nights they had an Us like maze, and one of the nights she just went dressed as her character and like scared people, and people didn't even know it was her. She just was like there to do it.
Oh my God.
It's the cutest thing I've ever heard. I love it. I love it. That's the kind of celebrity that I would love to be. Just having fun, spooking people on Halloween. You know what I mean?
That's the best. That's also the best. What I love about Billy on the Street, the actors and stuff that go run around the streets of New York with him and just like literally scare people.
Yes.
It's my favorite thing.
Man, for a dollar.
Oh my God, Christy, you have no idea. Billy on the Street is now on Netflix, so I've been like binging, and I laugh so hard I cry. I once had to turn it off on an airplane because I was scaring the person next to me because I was like sobbing and laughing maniacally. I love,
oh my God.
Love,
amazing.
Love Billy on the Street, amazing. So much. Yeah. For a dollar, name a woman.
Ma'am, for a dollar.
Name 20 white people. It's my favorite thing.
I need to watch. I've only seen like clips of it, and I already still love it.
Oh, girl. You've got to get your Billy.
Gotta get your Billy on that street.
You gotta. Hi, by the way. I'm Ashley.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
That's Christy.
That's Ashley.
And this is That's Weird. It's the only podcast around where two chicks talk about weird shit.
Yes. That's true.
Highly original.
100%. Yes. Highly true.
This is episode 97.
Oh.
Inching ever closer to 100.
Wow.
Oh, and fuck, this is our 3-year anniversary episode.
It is?
For real, yeah.
Wow.
You sound just like, wow.
Well, I tried to hide it, but I burped right before I said that.
Even better.
But I am legitimately excited.
That's a long time to have a podcast.
Yeah, that's a long time to have a friend you still talk to.
Absolutely. Let's high five virtually through the internet. Thank you for that sound effect.
You're so very welcome.
Yeah, believe it or not, 3 years ago, we were sitting up here in my weird little attic recording our first episode.
Oh, that's so true.
Memories.
Beautiful.
We're so memories.
Cute.
I wonder why immediately after the election, we were like, we must start our podcast.
Is that what happened?
I don't think there was a correlation. We were talking about starting it months before we actually did it. But
yeah,
it was like just a few weeks after. I don't know. It might just be a
coincidence. Shoot, you're right.
Or we just felt such dread that we were like, man, if we're ever going to fucking start a podcast, we better do it right now.
Dude, I remember crying.
Oh, 100%.
Like, I've never gotten so worked up about politics before in my life. And that was like the one moment, like, I don't know, just like shit goes wrong sometimes. And like, you know, Bush was president, whatever, that kind of stuff. But like, that was the time finally as an adult when I was like, oh God, like all of those countries that have like rigged elections and shit wrong with them and like rich people just running everything and hurting people, like that's us.
The self-awareness.
There's no America to free us from our dictatorship. Fuck.
Yep. It was depressing. It's almost 2020. We're almost going to have to deal with this again. Everyone remember to register to vote.
God, I got my California driver's license so that I could fucking vote.
Proud of you.
Because it's important. And also so I could get a library card.
Good. I like that. That's very wholesome.
Like, I want two things. To not have to pay for books that I'm reading and to elect a representative of my own.
And we both live in, you know, Washington and California. We're
useless.
I don't know. Sometimes I worry Washington because it's just Seattle and then the rest of the state is so
That's true.
Different.
Yeah. If you live in Seattle, you better fucking vote. Like, you're in a bubble. You think that you're safe and that everybody's voting like you. But have you been to like Eastern Washington? It's practically Idaho.
I mean, for real. You ever been to fucking Wenatchee? Don't go there. God.
Don't go there.
No offense to Wenatchee, but come on.
If you get on, what is it, I-90?
Yes.
And just drive long enough. Just get on I-90, drive until it starts to look like Indiana, and you're in trouble.
Drive until you see your first Trump 2020 sign, and then you turn right back around.
Oh, yeah.
That's me going to visit my family, pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Anyway, I suppose I could read you this nice review I found.
Yeah.
So this, I might have read this one. Please tell me if it sounds familiar. It says, awesome podcast. I've been binging it literally 24/7, and it is the perfect podcast. Safe to sleep to, engages me throughout my day so I don't fall asleep out of sheer boredom at my day job. Creepy and interesting and just totally weird, which I love, love, love. 15 out of 10, they say.
Whoa.
That's from SJ Dark Stranger in Canada.
I love it.
Have I read that one before?
No. Okay. I don't remember it.
Good, good. If not, if so, whatever. You know what?
If so, we still love it. Continue to praise us. We need the attention and the love.
We do. We absolutely do.
All right. Well, okay. It's my turn to go first, huh?
It is.
All right. I hope that we didn't do this one before. I don't think we did.
This is what happens when you have a podcast for 3 years. We no longer remember anything.
No longer remember. But I did do a little search. And I think it's a good one. Okay. So buckle the fuck up,
oh my
babies.
God.
It's the Ouija Riot.
What? What's a Ouija Riot?
A school in Miami in 1979. Rioted due to perhaps demon possession brought in by, some say, Bloody Mary. Oh. Some say, a Ouija board.
Whoa.
Right? And this is insane. It's just, it's what I, like, I found it by chance. Somebody wrote, like, a really in-depth Medium article on it. And I literally had to Google other places just to find out, like, just to make sure that it wasn't fake. Like, it wasn't just something that somebody was, like, writing. But there are legitimately, like, newspaper articles being, like, cops can't figure it out. All these teenagers started rioting because of demons.
Holy shit. This sounds amazing. I've never heard of this.
It's going to be amazing.
Fucking tell it to me.
I'm sorry, I had to get some water.
Understandable.
Here we fucking go. In Little Havana, in Miami, apparently there was actually a lot of demon activity. It was kind of the perfect storm, okay? So you have, like, this is the era of satanic panic, right?
Okay.
It's also, like, Little Havana is, like, a very, like, Hispanic immigrant population, a lot of people from Cuba. So you got a lot of people that are very, like, not only very Catholic or Christian, but very superstitious. It's kind of a melting pot of, like, all of the sort of, like, I would, what would you call it? Like, I would say maybe, like Afro-Caribbean kind of ritualistic belief systems.
Okay.
Because there are people from Cuba who are practicing Santeria. You got people from Haiti practicing, like, voodoo. You got people from somewhere else also practicing a similar thing. I don't remember. I had it written down what it was called, but I forgot. But it's all these things. It's basically like, so, like, for example, something that factors heavily in this story is Santeria. And Santeria is, like, the worship of Catholic saints, but they're doing rituals with it that include, like, blood animal sacrifices, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's all these things that people, like, associate with, like, Satanism and spooky stuff. Like, it's again, like, I think we talked about it a little bit when we talked about the 27 Club and people, and also with you know, that lady that everybody said was a witch during the witch trials.
Oh, Tituba?
Who was from Tituba from Haiti. It's this combination of, like, you know, American Protestant style Christianity versus this, like, Catholic saint worshiping, like, plus, like, Caribbean, like, rituals, even, like witchcraft and that kind of stuff. Like, it's just all sort of mixed up together that people in America tend to perceive as, like, oh, that's what Satanism is for sure. Like, 100%. Like, it's magic. It's witchcraft.
It's magic.
It's magic. It's witchcraft. Y'all are getting Satan up in here. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, it's to someone who is puritanical and used to the, like, stuff that we're used to in Western, like, American Christian culture, it's kind of spooky and a little confusing to have somebody worshiping a bunch of different people for a bunch of different reasons and showing that dedication through things like a severed chicken head with, like, ribbons wrapped around it or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, girl. Yeah, yeah.
So this is an area where a lot of those kinds of things are just part of the culture. Like, people have brought them from their home when they immigrated to Little Havana in Miami. And, like, then there's also just other people that are just very, like, superstitious and very super Catholic. And then this is the time in the 70s and the 80s during that, like, satanic panic thing where everybody's worried about it. Everybody just watched The Exorcist and got super fucking spooked. And now everybody thinks that demons are coming to possess their kids.
Yeah.
So there's, like, a bunch of demon activities. Like, in 1974, the Jackson Memorial Hospital in Miami was treating 700 demon possessions a month.
What?
A month.
Was this the beginning of Florida Man?
I think so. Florida Man is just really Satan himself.
I guess.
We all know this.
Just bouncing Satan, from person to person.
Satan himself got a hold of some bath salts.
Oh.
And he moved to Florida.
He's retiring anyway, there like everyone else.
Exactly. He's an old man. Wait, Earth's been around for a while.
He's been around for a while. But you're saying 700 cases a month.
A month of people suffering from demon possession at the hospital.
That's bananas. That's crazy.
Yeah. Also, like, near the area that I'm talking about, a 9-year-old girl stood up in church and said, "I am Satan." Not in her own voice, in a different, I guess, satanic voice. Like, just everybody in America really was, like, scared of all of this, like, Satanism and Satan worship and exorcist, like, stuff. And then in this area, it's, like, amplified because there's this, like, clash of this, like, you know, the puritanical ideals of what you should be like and what Satan worship looks like versus what, like, all of these kind of Afro-Caribbean cultural rituals or religions are. Like, I wish I knew more about them so I didn't sound like a dumb white chick just trying her best not to be racist, but, like, there, it's all so complicated, and some of it's wrapped up in Catholicism, and some of it's part of just, like, it's all wrapped up in, like, sometimes, like, slavery, the history of slavery and all that kind of stuff. And it's just, like, it's so complex. And there are things that are similar but different about all these different segments of it. And, like, I just don't even, I can't even begin to understand. And that's not even what I'm trying to talk about. But
I get what you're saying. I get what you mean. And as you're describing it, I mean, I assume that not only do these different groups have different, you know, beliefs and different ways that they practice, but I'm sure that there's some super duper racism going on in that time. So it's not shocking.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that brings us to my topic currently.
Okay.
I have one more, like, super long aside, by the way, but not yet. Okay, so in Little Havana, a private military school called Miami Aerospace Academy, in 1979, had, like, police and emergency responders come help them because a riot broke out. It wasn't a normal riot. The kids were possessed by spirits, apparently, according to people who were there. Some teachers just quit that day. They were, like, these kids were, like, kicking down walls and tearing down doors. One kid was unconscious when they got there. Oh my kids God. Were, like, running away. This is, like, K through 12. Like, this is children. Children fucking tearing down walls. One kid jumped out of a second-story building, or a second-story window to escape, landed on a bus, and everyone was like, oh, fuck. And then he just got up. People were like, this kid is possessed.
He had that
100%.
Devil strength. Yeah.
There's one of the eyewitnesses was like, yeah, I tried to, like, grab him, like, get it there, stop, calm him down. And he, like, had the strength of, like, 10 men, and he was 100% possessed, like, for sure.
Oh my God.
Just fucking wild. Reporters got there. Some of the kids said that it was about this, like, Bloody Mary game. Like, you know, the one where you stare in the window or stare in the mirror and say Bloody Mary three times and then, like, Bloody Mary appears and.
Yeah, of course.
Haunts you. It was either that or some kids were playing with a Ouija board and that's what started this all.
They let some demons loose.
They let some demons.
Fuck.
Loose. Yeah. So everyone was blaming this, like, Ouija board, which we talked a little bit about the origin of the Ouija board when we talked about spiritism,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, it's like a planchette. It's like, you know, everybody listening to this podcast probably knows what a Ouija board is. I love the fact that it's just owned by, like, one of the, just the same people that manufacture Monopoly or something. Like, it's just a parlor game.
Oh, like Hasbro
that people started. Yeah.
Okay.
It was just some guy was like, yeah, this is a good idea to sell to people. And then spiritism people were like, actually, yes, I'm going to use this.
Yeah, it didn't used to be a big deal, or there it didn't used to be all that, you know, taboo spooky stuff around it. It was just kind of fun.
But. Yeah, it's, and it's not some like clandestine thing. But to be fair, like using a planchette to sort of spell things out or try to talk to spirits, that's been going on for forever. Mm-hmm. But I think somebody, I mean, classic America, this guy was like, you know what's getting popular? People contacting spirits. I'm going to make a parlor game out of this and just like charge people for it. It's going to be great.
Genius.
So, I mean, and I think like a lot of people who are coming from a Christian point of view, see any kind of, I guess there was referenced in here somewhere, in one of the sources that I was reading, there's some kind of Bible verse or something that's like, hey kids, don't fuck with divination of any kind. You'll let a demon in. which I don't know. I mean, I went on a date with a guy who said that he could definitely see demons, and he told me never to use tarot because I'll let a demon inside of me. What? There was no second date.
What?
Right?
Oh my God, yikes. That's
Ashley, LA is crazy.
Christy, no. Oh my God. Okay. Well, that's terrifying.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. Again.
Well, I don't.
There was no second date, okay?
Well, I'm happy about that. I don't get the tarot thing because
it's a type of divination, I guess. And so you're opening a portal to another.
Are you when
dimension,
you're doing
tarot? To spirits to guide you or something like that?
Huh. Okay. Apparently, I do tarot very differently. I think of that for like Ouija boards because you are like.
You're supposed to, yeah.
So you should. I mean, open yeah. And close I think about
tarot. When I think tarot, I think like I'm just gonna look at these pretty cards and then overthink everything till I solve my own problems.
Exactly. You're just looking
for
reassurance or guidance from the cards. All the powers in the cards. You know. I don't. Whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, we don't know shit. Okay.
If there's one thing we've established in the last 3 years,
one thing we've established, but one thing I do know. Is the rest of this story.
Great.
So, here's the guy that owns the school. His name is Evaristo Marina. He's 48. He calls himself El General.
okay.
And he is fucking desperate for power. Like, he basically made this school as a way to make money and get respect from people, and then he continuously, like throughout the history of the school, just funneled profits from the school into different political campaigns. He like really wanted to be mayor of Miami or Little Havana or whatever, however small government works. I don't really know. He just really wanted to be like in charge of something. And so he's this like just crazy, like power hungry, narcissistic character who's like running this thing. Also, fun fact, he studied law in Havana. He's Cuban. He's from Cuba. He studied law in Havana and apparently had long-winded debates about Marxism with Fidel Castro, according to like his roommate at the some guy who was his roommate back then.
Oh, whoa.
Right? And okay, so here's my other side note, because I know almost nothing about Cuba, because what we know of Cuba is like that it's supposed to be that we're not supposed to go there, and now suddenly we are allowed to go there. Like, that's all I know about Cuba.
Yeah.
Here's a side note, because I kind of know who Fidel Castro is, but I know nothing about Cuba. So I'm just gonna say it. Cuba, island in the Caribbean. It was colonized by Spain, then later occupied by America during the Spanish-American War in 1898, which, if you didn't know, which I didn't know, was mostly a war about Cuban independence, because Cuba was trying to be independent, and America was like, I don't know, one of our ships were fucking around over there, and it mysteriously sank in a harbor in Havana, and so then we fought Spain and helped Cuba gain independence. It led to the Treaty of Paris, where U.S. got temporary ownership of Cuba. And Spain also gave us Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Philippine Islands. Later, we helped the Philippines establish independence. but obviously Guam, which I feel like nobody talks about in America, but Guam and Puerto Rico are both in unincorporated territories, which means they don't get shit or any help from us, apparently, as we've learned from recent disasters in Puerto Rico.
Right.
But if you're born there, I think you're automatically a citizen.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, back to Cuba. Cuba was a little baby nation with a democracy. It was a protectorate of the United States for a little bit while they got off the ground until in 1952. Fulgencio Batista, formerly the president of Cuba from 1940 to 1944, now this is 1952, he staged a coup and became a military dictator with the U.S.'s backing.
Yikes.
Which is so fucked up. And this made so many people in the U.S. and in the U.S. mafia rich. Like, eventually, sugar plantations in Cuba were owned, 70% of them were owned by foreigners.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, and obviously, like, the wage or the income gap was, like, just wild. So, no one liked him. And also, I feel like we don't talk about this at all. Maybe some people are learning about it now, but we definitely didn't talk about it very much, where basically at that time, the U.S. kind of fucked over like a bunch of Latin American countries by just installing like a violent or military dictatorship in order to just use them for their resources, for like the sugar plantations or for like, I don't know, fruit, bananas and stuff like that.
That doesn't sound like that's what the U.S. at all.
There's
Christy.
Something to do with a banana republic, and it has nothing to do with clothes.
Interesting that they might get their name from that, though.
Yeah, right. And also kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that's what that is. But again, sure. I don't know shit. I just think it's fucking wild that basically, okay, so the U.S. backs this military dictator who pretty much siphons off all of the resources and wealth that Cuba has to offer to the United States government, as well as organized crime syndicates in the United States, in order to amass his own personal wealth. And then Fidel Castro, with Che Guevara, however you say his name,
mm-hmm.
That guy that like
is on every poster, and
he's on every poster in every edgy white stoner teenage boy's room. Like, that's
correct.
So that guy was like second in command, helped him overthrow the government after 2 years of guerrilla warfare. And then now here we are, back to the story. So Evaristo fled to America because when Batista was in charge, Evaristo was like this like young aspirational guy, and he was in charge of the General Director of Public Order, which basically meant he was in charge of nightclubs, casinos, and the police.
Interesting.
So then after Fidel Castro overthrew that government and it became like a communist thing, then Evaristo fled to the U.S. And he, honestly, it sounds like he worked really hard to like establish this school. And he was basically like, you know what? So he literally moves to Little Havana in Miami, and he's like, you know what Hispanic people love? Like strictness and order. And you know what everybody in the U.S. loves right now? Like spaceships and airplanes. So he founded a private military school called the Miami Aerospace Academy.
Whoa.
Yes. And so he, like, it started out where it was just this like little school, and he would have like the local kids sometimes, if they could afford it, like go be a part of it. And he would also it's bonkers. Okay, he would take kids fresh out of like juvenile detention, and he would give them like a fake persona so that people didn't know who they were or that they were bad kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would have them there at the military school, and it was like they became well known for like getting bad kids into shape and being like a good like structured military school. It's like it became, you know, in those like 90s movies when the boy romantic interest is like, I gotta win this football game or my dad's gonna send me to military school. Like,
yes,
that's this.
Oh,
that's
no.
This, except it was for mostly just like super, like a bunch of super rich people from Latin American countries would send their kids off like it was boarding school to this place. So he was making bank, like he was making a lot of money at some point. At some point, he got a decommissioned fighter jet in 1972, which he just drove to the school in rush hour traffic in Miami, literally knocking down palm trees and scratching parked cars on the way to get it there.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's fucking wild. Yeah, there was a rumor, I guess, that he practiced Santeria because people would find like all these like things like a dead chicken with like ribbons ceremonially tied around its neck and like stuff like that. Mm. So somebody around there was practicing Santeria, but there was this like sense of like, you don't know like who's doing what, and not all of the kids there like really understood Santeria. They weren't from there. They weren't like Cuban. Some of them were just from other places. One kid was just like Italian. So like these kids are just super Catholic coming from some other country to be in like a very strict military boarding school, and then there's like a ritualized dead chicken that they just find.
They're like, what? And it's the like fuck.
Yeah, and it's like a 13-year-old kid that just is like, all right, so somebody's doing witchcraft and I just watched The Exorcist even though I wasn't supposed to, and now somebody's getting possessed by a demon. And also apparently people who practice Santeria typically dress all in white, but everybody had to wear uniforms, and the uniforms of the school were white, so it added this sense of panic. Oh. Where it's just like, you don't know, like we don't know who's practicing Santeria because everybody's got white on. Like,
interesting. Okay.
Which is like just a total like, that just sounds like a movie setup. But yeah, so the whole school went fucking wild because the school had this air of like underground, like supernatural shit going on for some reason. Like, I mean, and the guy that ran it was kind of weird and shady, like giving people false identities after they committed a crime and stuff like that,
right?
To let them enroll in the school and stuff like that. Also at one point, okay, for some reason he had his wife working there, but they called her like Miss Wilson or something. Like they were like trying to pretend for the sake of a professional relationship that it wasn't his wife or something like that.
So there's just lots of shady stuff happening.
And then she left him. And then after that, he just had like a new girlfriend all the time, or he would like invite kids over with their moms and like hit on their moms if they had a hot, like one guy was like, yeah, my mom was hot. Like, and he hit on her like multiple times until she finally was like, fuck no.
Please leave me alone. I'm married.
That to me is so funny. And so, yeah, this eventually, like, their kids, you know, and it's like a boarding school and they're kids and they're like superstitious kids and like
rumors flying.
Eventually, yeah. Everybody went bonkers. After some kids were playing with a Ouija board, and a lot of kids said it was demons that possessed them. And so that's almost the whole story. However, there was this guy And I can't for the life of me, like, I read an entire article and I couldn't find, I couldn't go back and find out where his first name was. So it just continuously refers to him as Wolf, which is the best. I think that's his last name, but it's just like Wolf. Wolf dashed up to the classroom. Like, this guy was like there to like kind of do help like with security and disciplining things, I think. But he's like available for an interview, so that's why he features prominently in this article. And he finds, like, everybody's going crazy. He gets a hold of this teenage boy and girl. They're dating. They're playing with the Ouija board. And so, like, he just decides, like, okay, I'll just drive you two home. Like, whatever. And so they didn't want to be alone, so he waited with them till her mom was home. And he said at 8 o'clock, he's waiting with these two kids that were... They told him just watching other kids play with the Ouija board. And then at 8 p.m., all of the lights go out. The house is like black. The door slams shut. The TV flickers on and off. And then the teenagers are finally like, okay, the boyfriend was doing stuff with the Ouija board.
What?
And then Ashley, Wolf, a grown man, trying to protect these children, just fucking left.
He said, hell no.
He just left. He drove away. He said he's never heard or seen those children ever since.
Oh my God.
He just fucking, he left. He quit. He joined the police academy. He was like, I'm just going to do something else.
What? I don't know if that's the kind of cop that I would want protecting me in any way.
Oh my God. It's just, man.
Incredible.
It was terrible. And from that point on, it basically just got like worse. Also, right after that, nearby, a few months later, there was a Santeria vigil that got super violent. And then police got there and found a sacrificed chicken and two dead refugees.
Oh my God.
So right after, like a couple miles away from that school, like right after the school's riot, and everyone was just like, oh wow, okay, demons are definitely here now. The kids brought demons into our town with a Ouija board.
They are living among us.
And they're living among us. So, like, the school pretty much swiftly declined right after that. Yeah, I mean, like, some other shit happened, but it's not supernatural. One thing happened where this kid, so there was a big scandal because the school wasn't good anymore. There was a scandal where, like, some, like, sexual abuse cases got found out from, like, some students, like, hurting other students, and one of the students turned out to be like this kid who like murdered his dad.
Yikes.
And then when he got out of like juvenile detention or whatever they did with him, then he enrolled in that school under a false name.
Yeah, that seems like a bad idea.
Yes.
Wait, so
Yep.
What do you think was happening? Do you think they just were like, this is our chance to get the fuck out of here, we're going to start a riot? Or do you think there actually were demons? Or do you think there was like a carbon monoxide leak or something? Like what was happening?
I don't know. Like these kids went wild. But I will say that like it sounded, just based on what they've interviewed people saying about the undercurrents and the tone of the school, it just sounds like it's a combination of like intense like superstition at the time and specifically in that place, and then combined with like just very restrictive like military discipline and structure that probably some kids were like, fuck this. Like, we're all rioting. Hell yeah. I'm mad. And I haven't seen my parents in months. And I'm 13.
Like, also, I'm 13.
The main explanation for it officially has been usually referred to as just like a mass hysteria.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I believe. Like, one kid, I mean, I don't know. Like, you've been, I remember being 13 at a sleepover and having like kids want to play Bloody Mary and just being like so convinced that like it was going to be real and we were going to get murdered by Bloody Mary. Like, it's so like, if one kid is afraid, it's so easy to get caught up in that when you're a kid.
Yeah, that shit's contagious.
Absolutely. Like, 100%. And I feel like adrenaline can do a lot to a person. Like, imagine just like a 16-year-old boy who's scared out of his mind, like him who just jumped out of a second story window onto a bus. Like, I'm not that surprised that he just stood up and ran away, kind of, you know.
Yeah, if he was hurt, I'm sure he couldn't even feel it yet. So
yeah,
all that adrenaline, that is, man, that's wild. That has to be just tons and tons of mass hysteria.
I read about that and I was like, oh, this is a good one. And then as I dug deeper into it, I was like, oh God, I know nothing. I don't know. I don't even know like the origin of Cuba, like, let alone all of these really complex, like, cultural, like, tough issues. Like, I don't understand any of it. But what I do understand is that it sounded bonkers and I had to tell you about it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you really went down like a wiki hole with that one. All kinds of stuff.
I did.
The origin of this and the origin of that. And this is what the time was like. And this is what the school was about. And that's nuts.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
It's wild. And can you fucking imagine like a character, like that guy must have been a character. Like,
oh,
just
for sure.
Driving a plane, a decommissioned airplane down the street.
I feel like I remember that, or like I've seen a clip or something about that at one point. Just the plane thing, nothing else. Unless that's happened multiple times. Someone's just fucking shit up with the plane they bought.
Same guy.
That
every time.
And that's what he's doing now.
that's what he's up to.
There is a dude in like Oregon somewhere that has, he's like living in a 747 or something. In order to get that plane there, you know, it has to go through town and on these highways, and it's fucking crazy to see.
So anyway, that's my story.
Do Ouija and then do a riot.
Yeah,
love it.
You doing a riot?
girl you doing a riot,
sweetie.
Maybe. Do you think the demon told them to riot? Just whispered it in someone's ear.
I think if you believe that someone was possessed by a demon or demons were at work, then what happened is some kids were holding a seance and playing with a Ouija board. And then that allowed a demon to come in and possess that kid that jumped out the window. And then everyone was like, holy fuck, there's demons. And that started a riot.
Once you see a motherfucking demon, like, yeah, there's no going back. If they really thought, like, the boy that jumped out of the window, they were like, fuck, oh my God, all hell's broken loose. Literally, I have to fucking get out of here. Love that.
Exactly.
I can picture it. It's like a very vivid tale.
I don't love that it happened to people.
Of course not.
But I kind of love it as a story.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting story. Well, prepare to be shocked. My topic is about an animal.
An animal.
I love those animal stories.
Ashley doing a story about an animal. Let me guess. One of them dies.
Well, there is a death eventually, but it's not about animal deaths. Which,
God damn it, Ashley.
I mean, that's refreshing at least. I'm going to tell you about a famous horse that could spell and do math and predict the outcomes of elections because she was psychic.
This sounds precious.
It sure is. Her name was Lady Wonder, and she was a psychic horse.
Oh my God.
She is the superhero we need. We don't deserve her, but we need her.
No, we've done nothing to deserve her. I can tell.
She was born on February 9th, 1924. This is a little old-timey.
Aww.
She was a black foal with white feet and that long, like, white stripe on the snout that a lot of horses have. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Got that little snoot stripe?
You know it. So she was the granddaughter of a thoroughbred racehorse. Basically, very fancy.
Wow.
And she was taken in by a woman named Claudia Fonda, which, by the way, that's a great name. Fun to say. Claudia Fonda.
Claudia Fonda.
Claudia Fonda. Just give it a try. It's fun.
Claudia Fonda and Lady Wonder. Man, I can't even imagine to have a life so blessed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. To be as fabulous as those two? Get out of here.
Can't even.
So Claudia adopted Lady at 8 weeks old when she was very small, and she bottle fed her, raised her, basically treated Lady like her own child, which is exactly how all pets should be treated, obviously.
Oh my God.
And at some point, Claudia realized that she never actually had to call for her horse. She could just think about wanting to call Lady, and the horse would trot on over and be like, "What do you want?"
Oh my God.
There's also a story about...
This is the best.
Do you love it?
Oh, I love it.
There's a story about children, I guess, playing with her. Why are children playing with a horse? It was the 20s. I don't even know. But...
It was the 20s. They let children play with anything.
It's true. It's not like they were riding the horse, just literally playing.
They're like, hot air balloon, here you go. Psychic horse, why not?
Why not? Absolutely, yes. They would hide things from her, like thimbles in the grass, and then she would always manage to find them. Just so smart. Or psychic, that horse.
Oh my God.
So Claudia decided to train Lady and work on her possible telepathic powers. She wanted her to be really smart too. So she made these special blocks, 26 of them. Each block represented a letter of the alphabet. And it only took Lady a few months to actually be able to identify each letter on the blocks. She learned her ABCs, Christy.
Oh my God.
Very, very smart.
I feel like in some ways this horse is probably smarter than me.
Oh, for sure. This horse is smarter than me. This horse is probably smarter than all of us.
This horse, we don't deserve her.
I mean, come on. We don't. So now Claudia could ask Lady questions and the horse could actually respond by spelling out her answers with the blocks. They could communicate this way. And she would do that by using her snout to point, and eventually they like upgraded from the blocks to this special machine that was like the size of a piano, and she could use her snout to push a lever that would make a card pop up with a letter, which was really cool.
I love her.
I would die for her. Not to be dramatic, but
I would die for her.
You don't have to, I promise. you can go on living. She's already gone.
You're like, she's already dead.
Spoiler alert, RIP Lady Wonder.
Oh, no.
So obviously in the 1920s, this was all quite a big deal. And stories about Lady Wonder spread through Virginia, where they were based. And she made it into some local newspapers, attracted some attention. Lady soon also learned her numbers. And she became quite the famous horse, like a local phenomenon.
Lady, you so smart.
Seriously. And people were just absolutely fascinated with this fucking smart ass horse. And remember, she wasn't just smart. She was also a little psychic. And I mean, probably, hopefully, I don't know. And
probably, hopefully, I believe it. Why not?
I want to believe. And that psychic talent was put to the test when people would come to visit Lady. They would pay a dollar and they could ask her 3 questions. And she must have been pretty good, like, or had a pretty good track record, because over 150,000 people would eventually ask for her guidance.
Oh.
Also, that's a lot of fucking dollars. Like, Lady and Claudia must have been raking in the dough or the hay or whatever, because that's a lot of money.
Absolutely.
Back then. And now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of money now, too.
That's a lot of money now, depending on who you ask me. It's a lot.
Me. An amateur podcaster? Yeah, that's a lot of money. So, reportedly, Lady could tell married women their maiden names, and she could guess the sex of children before they were born. She was like the original gender reveal. And she could pick winners for boxing matches and, ironically enough, horse races.
That's so cute.
She also helped a company discover oil at some point. I saw that. There wasn't like more to that story, but I feel like there should be more to that story.
Yeah, like I want to see a mini series about that, to be honest.
Yeah, just this like psychic horse that's also an oil baron. I love it.
Please. Oh, God. Can we have a My Little Pony spinoff of this?
Oh my God. Yes.
People will buy it.
This is gonna, yeah, that's gold. That's TV gold. Mm-hmm. So she famously picked the winner of a heavyweight fight between Jack Dempsey and Jack Sharkey in 1927. I've never heard of either of those people, but apparently it was a very big deal. And in 1948, even though newspapers reported that Dewey defeated Truman in the presidential election, I guess because it was really close, like the night before publication, and so the newspapers went out being like, oh yeah, that dude's gonna win. Dewey was in the lead. But Lady Wonder knew the fucking truth, and she had predicted that Truman would actually become president, and she was fucking right. Girls picking presidents.
Lady Wonder, come on.
Come on.
Come on.
And I mean, just to bring it back around, I wish that she was here so we could ask her about the 2020 election. We're all very nervous.
Please, we need some answers.
We need a new version of Lady Wonder, 2019 Lady Wonder. And this is my favorite Lady Wonder story. In 1952, cops were desperate for leads after a young boy in Massachusetts went missing. And so, believe it or not, they went to the psychic horse to see if she had an answer. And when police asked where the boy was, Lady spelled out Pittsfield Water Wheel, which was just kind of nonsense. It didn't mean anything. But mm-hmm. then the cops realized that maybe she just got it a little wrong, and she meant Field and Wild Water Pit, which was an abandoned quarry nearby. And fucking guess what, Christy? They found...
He was there.
Yeah, they found the boy's body there.
Oh my God, that's horrifying.
Yeah, they didn't find the boy alive, RIP. But they did find him, which I feel like is fucking wild.
I mean, that's definitely something.
Girl, that's something.
That's something. Like, she didn't save him, but she is just a horse after all.
You know what? Nobody asked her to save him, Christy, okay? Maybe she could have. I don't know.
Maybe you should shut up. Oh my God.
It's good to laugh. So I love saying that. It's my favorite joke, and I pull it out all the time.
It's good to laugh.
So Lady Wonder solving crimes and shit. Now, of course, you know, she got it right, and those were some very big examples of her actually knowing stuff. But she wasn't always right. She did get answers wrong quite a bit. She not only had fans, she had some naysayers as well, some skeptics.
Uh-oh.
And among these skeptics were psychologists and professors and, oddly enough, magicians.
Magicians?
I love that magicians were like, fuck this psychic horse. Just seems...
Fuck this horse.
Seems really rude.
She's not magic like I am.
Can she do this? It's like, anyway, I wish you could have seen what I did with my hand when I said that. So yeah, these skeptics would actually come and do studies on Lady to try and figure out just how smart she really was, and if those telepathy or psychic rumors were true, and if so, how. Most studies came out not conclusive, because how the fuck are you supposed to disprove this. I mean, you can't. Most people just decided that she was very well trained.
I mean, that's a possibility.
Yeah. In fact, it was believed that Claudia, Lady's human, was actually helping her answer questions with small cues that only her and the horse knew. And it could be like the way she moved her head, or I guess she had like a stick that she carried around. And like if she, I don't know, I read some different reports, so I don't know. But I guess like she could move the stick slightly and Lady would move her head that same direction. So it was almost like she was following her human's clues or cues.
Interesting.
I also like to imagine that Claudia would maybe like cough once for yes or twice for no or something. Just some super duper obvious trickery. I love that.
I like that.
And I'm all about these ladies getting that money. Fuck the naysayers.
Yeah.
And I think it really all boils down to like confidence. Like people will believe pretty much anything you tell them if you're confident enough about it.
Oh my God. That's so true. Let's get a horse.
Don't horses just like exude confidence?
Oh my God. Absolutely. And if you don't exude confidence, they will literally eat you like a baby chicken on a farm.
Oh,
you know
what
I mean?
Oh my God. I forgot about that video, Christy.
I will never forget about it. It's in my mind forever. Fuck horses. They're horrifying. Oh, but I only say that because I'm jealous. You know what I mean?
Because you want to be that beautiful and powerful.
Yeah. And
tall.
I never will be.
Yeah.
I will never be neither that tall or beautiful or powerful or with such a flowing mane. You know what I mean?
That mane, though. Yes. Also, oh my God, that video. It's not like graphic.
It's just.
But it is disturbing. A horse does, in fact, eat a little chicken.
Like, what the fuck?
It just goes chomp.
It just goes.
Oh my God. Yeah. If you haven't seen that video, I don't know if you should look for it.
I'm going to put it in our notes if you don't.
No. Oh God. I forgot about it.
I'm going to tweet it out right now.
Say, believe it or not, this is a spoiler for our next episode. Also, RIP this baby chicken.
RIP this baby chicken.
I bet it's a GIF. Like, I bet that people are sick. I bet that that is just something you can absolutely access easily.
100%.
Now my mind is racing with all the other fucked up animal videos we watched at our job in which we met.
God.
Oh boy. Hey, where was I? Something about confidence. Yes, horses and confidence.
Horses and confidence.
So yeah, I think that Lady Wonder was like obviously a really smart, confident horse, and she had a close connection to her human Claudia, her owner, whatever, and maybe they worked together to scam people for decades, and in that case I have no choice but to stan. I wish Snake and I could do something like that.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
He could never. He's not the best boy. He's my best boy, but he's not the best boy.
He's not the best boy.
No.
I have no choice but to stand.
I have no choice. We will continue to stand.
It's true.
When Lady, the mind-reading mare, as she was called sometimes, was asked how she did what she did, like, you know, how did she know the answers to these questions, or how did she predict things? How the fuck was she doing this? She spelled out M-I-N-D, mind. Like, it was just all in her fucking mind.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mind blown. Am I right?
You're right.
You're right. Oh my God.
You're right. Oh my God.
So Lady Wonder, sadly, even sort of predicted her own death. She answered with her special letter and number machine that she would die in her 30s. And she did. Lady died at the age of 33 in 1957. I don't know if that's old for a horse, but it seems like
it. That seems old for a horse.
Right? She's older than us.
Yeah, that's true.
If Lady was around right now, she would be our elder.
Wow.
Incredible. And her owner, Claudia Fonda, passed just 2 years later. They were like one of those old married couples where they're like, they're married for like 60 years and they die like a couple days apart.
Aww.
I know.
That's cute.
Just getting you in the heartstrings. And that is the short, simplified, was it short? I don't know. Was it simplified? I also don't know. Story of Lady Wonder, the psychic horse.
I loved it.
She called an election. She found a missing boy, or at least a missing boy's body. She really did it all.
Wow. I mean, honestly, like, if I could have a career like Lady, like, all my dreams would come true.
You think?
I think so.
She was.
If I could trick people into thinking I was smart enough to knowing the alphabet. Like, wow.
You know what?
That's going to take some confidence, to be honest, especially after this episode.
We're like, no, she could never.
She could never.
Quick side note, Claudia had another special animal in her care that did not get as much attention, and that was a piano-playing Pomeranian named Pudgy.
What? This whole time, you were just sleeping on that information?
I wanted to save it till the end. I wanted you to focus on the horse.
Oh my God. That's so important.
I know. I don't know what the fuck Claudia was up to, but she was really good at training pets, apparently.
She was fucking Dr. Doolittle.
Dr. Little, yeah, for real. I hope she wasn't hurting them. I always worry about that, you know?
Oh my God, Ashley.
Well, you know, that's how...
She had a psychic connection to animals, and they all had a great time.
Hopefully, but probably not.
Honestly, I just Googled it. Well, yeah, I mean, it was the 20s, so like no one was having a good time. I Googled it, and like 10 to 15 years old is old for a horse.
What? So she lived double that?
She lived to be hella old.
Holy
so
shit.
So I don't think that she was getting hurt. I think she was using the money they got to get like stem cell facials and shit. You know what I mean?
She probably bathed in the blood of other horses. Like, she was fucking doing the most. That's wild.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. She must have been well taken care of, hopefully.
I choose to believe so. Let me put it that way.
I want to believe that too, also for Pudgy, because how does Pudgy learn to play the piano? I bet he got hit with that stick a few times. Like, come on, how did he learn to play the fucking piano?
Yeah, I don't even know how to play the piano. It's hard.
These animals.
And how did his little feet reach down to hit the little step keys? Come on.
Well, maybe he had a special tiny piano. I don't know.
Maybe he didn't know how to piano.
He didn't know how to piano, much like us.
Maybe he didn't know how to play piano. Maybe he just could play the keyboard, you know?
That is oh fuck, keyboard cat. Bring it all back around. Some great viral videos. Love it.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah, that story went off the rails.
I loved it.
I also have a weird fact for you, of course.
Yes.
It's an interesting one. So I actually wanted to do this as my subject, but there's just not enough to it, I feel. But there's a place in the United States where you could maybe legally be able to get away with murder.
What?
It's called the Yellowstone Zone of Death.
Oh my God.
Which is incredibly dramatic.
Wow.
It's a 50-mile stretch of the park in Idaho, and as a result of a legal loophole in the motherfucking Constitution, a criminal could theoretically get away with any crime if it took place in that area because no one actually lives there. And so the courts wouldn't be able to form a jury for your trial. Like, does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, I get it. Because you can't go to jail if you're not tried in front of a jury of your peers, but if your jury of your peers that you can round up in the area is just like bears and two bison, then you can't be tried. I get it.
The bears and the bison are like, yeah, this motherfucker did it, but they won't listen to us. They won't let us
they're
be
like,
part of the jury.
The bison are like, yeah, he's a murderer, arrest him. And the bears are like, call the wild man, whatever.
They're like, why? Oh God. But
the bears are over there like, dude, do you know about jury nullification?
I wonder, what if there's some like evil bears and they're whispering that, and like anyone who walks into that area, like something starts whispering in their ear. That's like, do it. Kill this person. You could get away with it.
What if?
There actually is. As I was looking into this, I found out there is something called like the Yellowstone Whispers or something. The Whispering Winds. It's something like that. So it's all coming together.
They're telling people to murder people, and then people are getting murdered, and then no one's getting tried for
people
it.
People are getting
and
murdered.
And that is the silent mass disaster.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, there's actually no proof that anyone has been murdered there. But it's an option. It's open.
It's always an option.
You think that, like, the powers that be might want to fix that. Maybe change it up. I don't know. It's a... whatever. So yeah, don't go into the zone of death.
Yep.
Maybe try out a psychic horse for your next palm reading or whatever.
Absolutely.
If you're going to
call a demon with some tarot.
I was going to say, if you're going to play with a Ouija board, you better be prepared to start a riot.
Oh my God. Yes.
I like that.
I'm ready.
Good. That was our episode. We did it.
Wow. Great job.
Great heckin' job for 3 years.
Great heckin' job.
You can find our show notes at thatsweird.org. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at thatsweirdcast. Join our Facebook group. You can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/thatsweird. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, email us, thatsweirdcast@gmail.com. Remember to rate, review, subscribe, and stay weird, you guys. Goodbye.
Bye.